long as they last. If you'll see my wife on the way out, because I'll probably be in the baptistry, or I will be in the baptistry. We have leftover sweet tarts from last night and leftover Hershey Kisses. I think none of the Reese's have made it. I think we didn't have any Reese's left over, but we do have a little baggie of Hershey Kisses and sweet tarts for all the kids, teenagers, young adults, and as long as they last. So anyway, so just see her. All right, today we're in Acts 1, and of course, praise the Lord for, I can't wait for that day when that trump's going to sound, and when he's going to come back. And of course, I've heard that Kentucky has beautiful sunsets. I've experienced a few of them. We've had some cloudy days, things like that. But when you see those sunsets, or even, you know, those of you that realize that the sun gradually comes up, it's not like a light switch that God just turns it on. But anyway, some of you have jobs that, you know, cause you to have to watch the sun come up. But it's a blessing. And of course, we don't know when. We don't know when that day is. The Bible says, you know, nobody knows. And so if anybody ever, and there have been some over the years, you know, I've got it prophetically figured out that he's going to come back, they were wrong. You know, I remember back in 2000, Y2K, everybody was selling houses and selling their clothes, moving to the top of the mountain. They wouldn't be first in line. It came and went. All right. I think if anybody did predict it on the right day, God would change it just so his Bible would be true. So anyway, but he is going to come back, and I'm looking forward to that. And that's what we're talking a little bit about today in verse 11 of Acts chapter 1. Of course, starting in verse 8, we've talked about it and how that the Holy Ghost comes upon us and gives us power so that we can witness here in town, in the outskirts, in the next state, and even to the uttermost parts of the world. We're commanded to do that as well. They had that command when Jesus went up into heaven, and he said, you know, I'm going to leave you in charge of getting the gospel out. And then verse 9 says in here, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud. So just like she's saying about that he's going to come back in the clouds, he was taken up in a cloud that day. And it's kind of like if you've heard of some, you know, great sports figure or some famous person that a friend of yours met and got an autograph or things like that. And, oh man, I wish I could have met her. I mean, none of them hold a candle to Jesus, but you know, these guys could say that they saw him go up, and they're going to be able to talk about that for eternity. I was there. Maybe you have a picture. I was there when. I remember one time there was an independent Baptist gathering, and it was supposed to be the largest gathering of independent Baptists ever in the world, and I can't remember how many thousands it was. It was a big civic center, and my dad and I were on the second row right by the speakers. I don't know why we picked that, but you know, we both had to go to the restroom and get toilet paper and put us a little bit there so we could not break our eardrums, because it was like right there. But I have that picture, my dad and I on that second row, and there's, you know, thousands of people gathered together. And so I could say I was there. These guys could say I was there when Jesus went up. And it says here, as he was taken up in the clouds, and they received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And here's what we're going to preach today. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand... Whew, get excited about it. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Here's the title of the sermon: This Same Jesus. This Same Jesus. So the same ones that they said, I was there when he went up and I saw it, nanny, nanny, boo, boo. All right. All of us will be able to say, this same Jesus, we'll be able to see when he comes back. And we'll be excited, those of us that are saved, been born again. And praise the Lord, Brother Ty got that settled not too long ago, and he's going to get baptized today. Why? Because he asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart. So he'll see that same Jesus. And those of you that's already been saved, you'll see that same Jesus. And this same Jesus, which that was taken up, says here, from heaven, shall so come. So just like he floated up, he's going to float back. In like manner, as ye have seen him go into heaven. And so they were saying, don't worry about it. This same Jesus that y'all are sad to see leave is going to come back. And of course, we know he was born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half years here on the earth, and did lots of miracles, did lots of things. And we're going to look at a few of those today. But then he's going to do a lot more things after he comes back. So the title of the sermon this morning is This Same Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. And thank you, Lord, for coming and being born of a virgin and living 33 and a half years a perfect life and then dying on the cross to pay for our sins, the sins of all mankind. And Lord, we know this story, Lord, that you did many miracles while you're here and so forth, but it was time for you to go back and sit on the right hand of the Father. But Lord, we know you're going to come back in like manner. And we believe that, and we thank you for that. Lord, I just ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So this same Jesus. Now, there's a lot of things that he did before he came to this earth as a virgin. And we're going to look at a few of those. There was a lot of things he did while he was on this earth. And of course, we're going to see at the end of the sermon, there's going to be some things that he will continue to do or do in the future. But I'll read you a verse. You don't have to turn there. But John 21:25 says this, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did. The which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. So, I mean, if I'm going to take a few minutes here this morning and talk about a few things that he did. But the Bible even says if somebody tried to write down everything that he's done, that this world couldn't contain that. My little finite brain cannot comprehend that. I was talking to a fellow the other day. He said he was cleaning out his office. And he had one of those jobs. This was back before you could record conversations. You know, this conversation may be recorded for such and such purposes and this, that, and other. So he was in one of those positions that he told people, you know, add this much chemical or do this to this, you know, formula, and this is what the results you'll get. And so he would get called back and say, you know, I did what you said, and it didn't come out like that, so we're going to sue you. So back in the day, he would write down almost word for word the conversations. And back in the 70s, he said. So he said he threw 500 pounds of books away, the other day, you know, note planners and things like that, of conversations that he had had, trying to keep himself from getting sued. Because somebody said, well, you said, well, no, this is what I said on this date, and this is me and you were talking, and they're like, you know. But Jesus did so much that the Bible says that if somebody wrote it down, that this world could not contain it. I can't believe that. But this same Jesus, we're going to, in an introduction here, this same Jesus, we're going to see some things that he did for us. This same Jesus. That same Jesus that they watch go up, and that same Jesus that we're going to watch come back, there was a few things that he did. Number one, he made us. He made us. Genesis 1:26-27. So that same Jesus that was born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half years of a perfect life on this earth, died, rose again, went back to heaven. That same Jesus is the same Jesus that created us. He made us. Genesis 1:26 says this, "And God said, let us," so he was talking to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, "let us make man in our image, after our likeness, collectively, and let them have dominion over the fish." Amen? Now, those of you that like to fish, we got dominion. "And over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air." I think in my office there's a fish and a duck. And praise the Lord, I've got dominion. And it says here, "over the cattle." And we ate some of that last night. "Over all the earth, and even over the creepy thing," or the every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. I don't like snakes. I'm not one of those, oh, that's a good snake. If I see a snake, it's dead. Shovel in hand, head's coming off, gun in hand. All right, any snake is a dead snake, all right? And, you know, that's why I came home one time, and on the porch was one of those multicolored snakes. And I'm like, ugh! And so I go get me a bat, and I wasn't going to say, okay, red and yellow, kill a fella, red on black, friend of Jack. I couldn't remember that, all right? Snake then made my, and so he was just dead, all right? And so dead snake, but anything, we have dominion over those creepy things. I remember putting a double wide together one time. And, of course, the ground sloped. Y'all get that up here. Florida, all the ground was flat. But the ground sloped, so the front end was right on the ground and the back end was probably 8-10 blocks high. We put this double-wide together. My job that day was to put the lag bolts in the floor joists. So down here on this end, it was pretty easy. I'm on my knees, just brr, brr. By the time I got to this end, I'm laying on my back. The ceiling's right here. And so I grabbed the frame and I pulled myself back for that last one. I let myself go and I hit the ground and I feel something wiggling under my back. All right, now the floor is right here. I can't roll to get up. I mean, but there's something wiggling. So I'm figuring, okay, I haven't felt a bite. So I've got his head pinned down. And so he's wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. So I went ahead and put the lag bolt in the floor because I figured I was safe. put the lag bolt in there. And so then I'm in there psyching myself up. I'm laying in there. And so I finally got enough turn and grabbed and threw. But apparently my grandfather heard me screaming under there or grunting under there. So he comes down, you know, "You okay?" Right when I threw, the snake hit him in the chest. So he's running backwards, and we killed it. And it was a pygmy rattlesnake. So praise the Lord, I didn't get bit that day. I hate them. Okay? I have dominion, and I'll kill them all. God said, I will take care of it. So verse 27 says this, "So God, collectively, created man in His image. In the image of God created He male and female." That's pretty relevant of our day and time. "But male and female created He them." So praise God, that same Jesus that rose that day that these guys were staring up into the heaven, that same Jesus created us. We'll look at a few things about this. Psalm 139:13-18. Psalm 139:13-18 says this, "We are fearfully and wonderfully made." Obviously there's name brands out there. There's some that have good reputation. There's some that have bad reputation. Jesus has 5 stars. He didn't make any junk. He didn't make a mistake on any of us. None of us need to be returned to sender and remade. God made us perfectly. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Verse 13 says this, For whom hast possessed my reins," in other words, He was in control, "and covered me in my mother's womb." And so, again, just like we said a while ago, male and female, this smacks that abortion crowd right in the head. Okay? As soon as God created us, we were humans. All right? It says here, our most secret parts, our reins, in the most secret condition, we were unborn under the control of God and His guardianship. He was taking care of us in our mother's womb. I'll give you a couple other verses. John 17:24, "Father, I will that thou also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou hast loved me before the foundations of the world." So not only were we in God's mind in our mother's womb, but the Bible says even before the foundations of the world, we were in God's mind. So none of us slipped up on God. None of us, again, needs to be sent back to the sender to be remade. He made us in such a time as this, for the exact time He made us. He was in control of that before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4, "According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." So not only before the foundations of the world did He create us, He had something in mind for us. A certain way to live, a certain thing to do. He had that in mind. 1 Peter 1:20, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." So God had a plan for you. So number one was, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Number two, in verse 14 of Psalm 139, "I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and Thy soul knoweth right well." Again, there's some of us that we might love ourselves more than others, and so we might want to give God props. And so, "You did a great job. You did wonderful." Maybe we're thinking of ourselves a little too highly if we're doing that. But according to God, we see here that it was marvelous. Not only were we fearfully and wonderfully made, it's a marvelous thing. Again, I didn't pay much attention in school, but I do know a little bit about the nervous system and about the blood vessels that go through our body. And what they do and what they don't do. The muscular system. Again, it wasn't just some stick figure that God came up with. This body that He came up with is spectacular. It's above human minds. Now, there's a lot of studying that's went on and a lot of things that's went through in our world today. And they've praised the Lord for advancement. Before Novocaine, it was a stick that you bit on, right? Before you were going to get numb to get some stitches, here, bite this stick. Praise the Lord for advancement. But God, He created all that. So not to mention our eyes are unbelievable. And praise the Lord for advancement of that. Some of you can get an operation to get rid of these. I'm not a candidate yet. Praise the Lord for our eyes and our lungs and our heart. It's all spectacular. A couple of verses on that one. Isaiah 64:8 says this, "But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and Thou art the potter. And we are the works of Thy hands." So He's the one that molds us. Romans 9:21. He Hath not the potter the power over the clay? And the last one, Jeremiah 18:4. And the vessels that was made of clay were marred, and the hand of the potter so made again another vessel that seemed good unto the potter. So even if you have a past like I do, I didn't get saved till I was 10, struggled for about 7 more years, so I've made some mistakes, but I'm still in the potter's hand. And he just made another vessel. All right? And so Paul had that testimony. That vessel I was before the road to Damascus, I don't even want to think about it. I want to put it back there. But Paul's like, praise the Lord, he just made another vessel. And I went from Saul to Paul. Now, we can talk about that all day long. And so praise the Lord for that. So, I mean, even, you know, if you look at the beginning of us, the wonderful, the magnitude of what he created, and then us goofuses and doofuses that made mistakes in their life, and like, God, I'm not worthy. Well, nobody is. All we're worthy of is hell. Our righteousness is filthy rags. But the potter, that same Jesus, can take your mistakes and fix them, and you can live the rest of your life. That same Jesus that they were in awe of. Wow, he's going up, man. I mean, we could just be in awe of Jesus all the time. Stand in awe that he's done that. So, verse 15 now, in Psalm 139. Verse 15 says this, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Curiously wrought. So in other words, God had an exact plan. There's no, you know, two peas in a pod. That's a cliche. So there may be somebody that's similar. We have identical twin granddaughters, but we can tell them apart. And I've seen some that you couldn't. And they would play tricks on people. My mom said she went to school with some identical twins, and they had their little, you know, initial on their necklace, and they would swap necklaces and go to different classes. They would swap necklaces and go on different dates. So they were a little mischievous. But God created us all curiously wrought in verse 15. Verse 16 says this, thy eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, in thy book all of my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet they were none of them. So not only were we curiously wrought, we were continuously fashioned. God made us. Verse 17, how precious also are the thoughts unto me, O God, and great is the sum of them. So it wasn't like mass production and we stuck stuff on the shelf. God's mind is higher than our mind. He can remember everything. Everything about everybody. You know, that mole that you have, God put it there. Right? You know, my hair left that God put there. All right? You know, so he knows everything about all of us. We're all different. The thoughts unto us. Verse 18, I should count them, they are more in number than the sand when I wake and I am still with thee. And of course, you know, being, I guess, moving from Florida, there's lots of sand down there. And the Bible talks about sometimes that a bird could pick up a grain of sand here and take it to the other side of the world and drop it and switch it all back and forth, and you never can get away from the love of God. So we see here that God, there's things about us that is innumerable, and God knows them. Matthew 6:27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to your stature or to his stature? We can't change what God did. God made us. And again, the world's trying to mess that up, undecided, this, that, and other. You can't change what God created. And we're fearfully and wonderfully made. So this same Jesus not only rose that day and caused them to stare up into heaven, but that same Jesus is the one that created us. So this same Jesus is overseeing us now. From our mother's womb, that same Jesus was there. That same Jesus created us. That same Jesus will not ever leave us nor forsake us. So not only did this same Jesus make us, number two, he made everything. And so he made us, and we were his number one possession. So he made everything else for us to enjoy. You know, don't let the devil talk you out of joy. Yes, we've made mistakes, but God still loves us. We talked about it. He can take that marred clay and make another vessel and so forth. But we see that he made everything for us. In John 1:1-3, verse 1 says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, this same, talking about the Word of God, Jesus, the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. So He made everything. Not only did He make us, He made everything for us in this world. Colossians 1:16, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. So we see here that same Jesus that they were watching as He ascended up into heaven made you. He made us. Revelation 4:11 says this, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things for Thy pleasure. They are and were created. So all of us individuals were created for God and His pleasure. Everything that was in this world that's been created, food, shelter, animals, anything that was created for Him and for His glory. So this same Jesus created everything, and He will sustain it until He's done with it. So global warming, don't let it scare you. All right, God's got it. Nothing's going to run out until He's ready for it to run out. You don't have to go buy and hoard up and stock up on stuff. God will take care of us. So again, all the things that are here, He's going to take care of. Now, according to the Bible, they're a little bit right on global warming. All right, this earth was destroyed one time by flood. But the second time, the Bible says it's going to be destroyed by fire. So they are right in a sense. It's going to be pretty warm when it comes time for Him to do away with this. Number three. There we go. Number three. We are examples of He was an example for us how to live in this world. So when He came and was born a virgin, we saw a little bit of His childhood, we saw some of His teen years, and then we saw some of His adult years. But He was a perfect example for us to live. So He was created for that example, came down and set that example. Hebrews 4:15 says this, that He was without sin. For we have not an high priest, talking about Jesus, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but were in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So He was an example of being tempted just like us. So every temptation that we succumb to, maybe that besetting sin that gets us every time, day after day after day, He was tempted that same way. He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. When we feel sad, He knows how that was or is. When we feel hurt, He knows how that is. And He showed us how to respond in that way. So that same Jesus that they were standing in awe of as He went, we can stand in awe of His testimony. So we see here when He was tempted, we can talk about when Jesus tempted Him. He'd been fasting for 40 days. All right, if I'm fasting 4 minutes, I've lost it. All right, but He fasted for 40 days. And so, of course, He comes in and He said, if you be the Son of God, turn those stones into bread because you hadn't eaten in 40 days. So He was tempted. So what did He do? He answered Him with Scripture. With Scripture. So this same Jesus was our example of how to respond to that temptation. When that temptation comes to you, whether it be your own flesh, whether it be this world, or even the devil himself tempts you with something, answer Him with Scripture. Then we have other instances where the Bible says He answered not a word. Okay? Sometimes He answered with a Scripture. Sometimes He answered not a word. They came to Him and if you and if this and if this would happen, answered them not a word. So sometimes, we don't even have to say anything. We just do what we're supposed to do. And the third one we'll look at, sometimes He fled. He just got away. The Bible says give no place to the devil. Resist Him, He will flee. But sometimes we have to flee. So He was an example of how to overcome that temptation with Scripture. Answer not a word, and then fled. But then we see here He was also an example in Philippians 2:7 that He made Himself of no reputation. Philippians 2:7 says this, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So He made Himself of no reputation. A lot of this stuff that's pushed out there in the world with social media and I guess a level of fame, it's all about making Himself of a reputation. Jesus didn't do that. Again, we talked about that a while ago about I've got this person's autograph and I saw this person, met him personally. Big woo when it comes to Jesus. They don't measure up. And so again, Jesus, I guess the most famous person ever, the greatest person ever, the sinless person, he didn't go around making himself of a reputation. In other words, he didn't heal the blind man and say, okay, stand over here, now lean your head this way, let's get the lighting in the filter and post it. Right. He wasn't making himself of no reputation. But again, that's pushed on us. Make yourself of a reputation. I'm a great Christian and this is why. Jesus didn't do that. I don't know. I praise the Lord for anybody doing anything good. But if it's just for that reputation, the Bible says that is your reward. It'll be burned up. You won't receive a crown for it if that's why you were doing it. Now, if you can do all of it and keep it all in your brain right, who knows? You might get a reward for it. But we see here, he was healing people. He was causing, dead to rise, blind to see, lame to, sweeping and mopping and praising the Lord, as my granddaughter sings. All right, they could do, and then what he would tell them, don't go tell anybody. And I mean, especially if it was a relative, here he is in his right mind and clothed. Anything happen to you today? Nah. I mean, you've been streaking around town, cursing people, scaring people in the graveyard, and now here you are in a suit and not cussing, and you're living right. Things like, something happened to you. What happened? So, I mean, it spread, but he didn't make himself of a reputation. So, when my wife and I was first started dating, I was trying to do the impressing. I hit this many home runs. My best game, I had 17 strikeouts and da da da. And so she started quoting this verse to me, trying to help me out. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own lips. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth. A stranger, and not thine own lips. I was like, ooh, that's in the Bible. So I found it. But a lot of us are good at telling people how good we are. Now, nothing wrong with saying, having a testimony where... And this, again, Jesus was an example of this. That same Jesus made himself of no reputation. Job 32, 21 and 22 says this, "Let me not, I pray thee, or pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto men. For I know not to give flattering titles, if so doing, my Maker would soon take me away." Again, a lot of people, that's what they're looking for, that flattering title. I'm the CEO, or I'm the manager, or I'm this. Jesus didn't do that. And Job even said, I'm not going to get involved in that. Now, if you have one of those, praise the Lord for it. And be a good steward of it. But again, that's not the creme de la creme. That's not the pinnacle that we ought to be reaching, that flattering title. Again, praise the Lord. I guess this is my, third, fourth week of being a pastor. I told you when I first came here, when I graduated from Bible college at 21, I desired to be one. But I wasn't one for 33 years. Okay, because I always told my wife, the title outside my door is not the most important thing. The most important thing is being right where God put you, having His favor on you so that your family can be blessed. That's the key. And I would take that over any title. Because again, there was probably 8-9 different times that I had different job offers over those 33 years that I could have taken them. Didn't feel like they were God's will. This one I ran to because I felt like it was God's will. But it's not about the flattering title. It's about pleasing Him, having His favor, so my family can be blessed. So He was a great example. That same Jesus that went up was a great example of how that we should live. It says here in Acts 10, 38, it says this, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." So this same Jesus that went to heaven, that they were in awe of, you know what he did while he was here on earth? He just went about doing good. Well, I want to serve God. Well, serving. Well, I need to be a this, this. It's not about flattering titles. It's just about doing good. If you see somebody drop something, pick it up. You just served God. It's about doing good. If you see somebody that's struggling with something and need the door held for them, hold the door for them. That's serving God. If you see somebody that's a little bit depressed, say a kind word to them. Try to help encourage them. That's serving God. It's not about a flattering title. And so we see here, that's what Jesus did. He didn't go around saying, I'm the Son of God. I'm the Savior. I'm the one that took your sins away. No, He just went about doing good. He wasn't about making us love Him or making us get saved or making. He gave us a free will. He just went about doing good. Number four, this same Jesus, not only when He went up, He was an example of what we were supposed to do while He was down here on the earth. But number four, this same Jesus that went up wanted us to have a comforter. John 14:16-18. It says here, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. I've been here comforting you, but I'm going to ask God to give you another comforter that may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, and He will dwell with you and shall be with you. Verse 18, and I will not leave thee comfortless. I will come to you again. So that same Jesus that went up, He's like, hey, don't panic. Don't freak out on me. All right, I'm going to ask God. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit to be with you while I'm gone. So that same Jesus that went up was worried about us while we're here. And the last couple, we'll just read them to you. In John 1:1, that same Jesus was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This same Jesus that went up is the one that paid for our sins. This same Jesus is the one that will so come, the Bible says. This same Jesus will give us new bodies one day. Again, at 55 and have moved for my 11th time, unpacking has caused my body to be a little stiff. And it's only going to get worse. We're all heading that direction. But that same Jesus that went to heaven when He calls us up there, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that and then those that remain will be called, we'll all get brand new bodies. The same Jesus that went up is going to give us a brand new body. This same Jesus that went up will rule and reign. Right now you have to watch the news. Seems like the devil gets a leg up. The world gets a leg up. But this same Jesus one day, He's going to rule and reign. There won't be sin captivating our world and messing up our loved ones anymore. This same Jesus, not only will do that, He will reward us at the judgment seat of Christ. Of course, He washed people's feet. Oh, you can't wash my feet. You know, I don't deserve that. You know, we need to wash your feet. And He's like, hey, get over here. And He washed their feet. That same Jesus that washed their feet, that same Jesus one day is going to reward you. Can you imagine looking in His eyes when He hands you that reward? Again, it's not just a formality. The one that made you, fearfully and wonderfully made you, and knows every little detail about you. When He sees you face to face and gives you that reward, oh my soul. That same Jesus that they were like staring at, we're going to get to see Him face to face. This same Jesus will destroy that heaven and this earth and create a new one, and all things will be perfect. That same Jesus. And I mean, again, we'd be here till Jesus comes if we talked about everything that He did. Before He came, as He was here, and since He's gone, this same Jesus, the Bible says, the world could not contain those books. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. And thank You for who You are. Lord, help us to realize, just like the Bible says, that same Jesus or this same Jesus is going to come in like manner. But Lord, the Bible commands us to be doing something. Occupy until You come. Be busy for the Savior. So Lord, I just ask You to help us, Lord, to realize that day could be any time. Is there something that we're doing that we need to stop? Is there something we're not doing that we need to start? And God, Lord, help us to live like this same Jesus is going to come and we're going to see Him again. Let's all stand. Brother Derek and Miss Tiffany is going to play us an invitation song. And Brother Ty, if you want to go ahead and start getting ready. Altar's open. If you need to come pray. Thank you.
today. We are going to have a baptism, so Brother Derek will come and lead you in a couple songs in just a second while I go back there into my little phone booth and get into my outfit. Amen. And I tried the waders on. They're size 9, and I'm a size 10, so I'll be quickly baptizing Brother Ty this morning with my toes gathered up. So, but anyway, so Brother Derek, if you'll come take over.
You may be seated. Let's take a hymn, but we'll sing it for a little bit here as we're waiting on the baptism. Sorry, let's go to hymn 64. We'll sing a little bit.